I'm Paul Bertarelli, reporting for Aviation Consumer Magazine. And speaking of reporting, one of the topics we've been covering for almost a decade now is the emergence of glass panels for light aircraft. When we first flew the Avadyne Integra in 2002, I remember thinking, man, this is really nice, but it'll be 100 years before anything like it turns up in the aftermarket. Well, my estimate missed the mark by about 94 years because affordable glass for the aftermarket is now shipping in the form of the Aspen Evolution System. In this enhanced podcast, we'll take a look at the system. In the accompanying video, you can get a sense of what it's like to fly it. My first impression of the Evolution is that it's Avadyne-esque, and both companies should take that as a compliment. What I mean by that is that its operating logic is relatively simple, and no one should have much trouble mastering it. Let's start with a basic description of the system. Aspen's new and big idea is modular architecture. Rather than cram an entire primary flight display into a single box, as Garmin and Avadyne do, Aspen designed a series of small modular units that fit into the panel in place of the standard six-pack instruments, two at a time. In this photo, you can see the basic idea. What you're looking at is what Aspen calls the EFD-1000, the basic building block of the system. For this shot, we pulled it clear of its panel mounting in a Cirrus SR-22. The EFD-1000 contains the basic computational box, the unit's electronic solid-state gyros, plus air data input, the display itself, and the knobs and buttons to control it. This system uses two other bits of remote hardware, one called the remote sensor module and the other the ACU, or analog converter unit. The remote module mounts on the roof of the cabin, and it contains magnetic flux sensors, accelerometers for flight orientation, and an emergency GPS engine and antenna for backup purposes. The ACU is kind of a happy box to convert analog signals from older GPS navigators and autopilots into the digital-only ARINC 429 spoken by the Aspen system. Not every airplane will need this box, but most will, especially those with autopilots. For the time being, Aspen is shipping only the EFD-1000 in the primary flight display version. But going forward, it envisions an expandable system that would include multifunction displays for moving maps, weather, traffic, and eventually synthetic vision. In short, these will replicate the kind of capability you see in Avadyne's Integra and the Garmin G1000. But all that's in the future for the moment. For now, Aspen is offering two versions of the EFD-1000 primary flight display, the Pilot PFD at $5,995, and the Pro PFD at $9,995. A future version, the ATP PFD, will sell for $12,995. The Pilot is considered the entry-level VFR-only option, while the Pro is designed for IFR approvals and has a GPS steering capability necessary to operate with autopilots. The ATP has all the capability of the Pro version, but will add sectional detail moving maps, traffic, weather, and terrain. At the Sun and Fun show last month, we flew with Aspen's Scott Smith in his Cirrus SR-22 and later spent some quality time with Doug Kane, Aspen's marketing director, exploring the Evolution's finer operating points. Let's take a look. As with all primary flight displays, the top half is given over to an attitude indicator, or ADI, as you can see in this photo. This is pretty standard stuff. On the left side of the display is a standard glass panel airspeed tape display, which can be bugged for a target airspeed. And on the right side of the attitude display is an altimeter tape, again with target values that are buggable. These tapes take some getting used to, but after an hour or two, you'll give up cheating to the steam gauges. It's just more natural to look at the tapes. Along the lower edge of the attitude indicator, true airspeed and ground speed are displayed on the left, outside air temperature in the center, and the current wind direction and velocity is on the lower right. This is calculated in real time by the Evolution's air data system. The values are blank in these photos, by the way, because we were on the ground when the photos were taken. The lower portion of the instrument contains the HSI, or what Aspen calls the navigation display. Again, it's largely what you'd expect to see on any of the PFDs and includes a lubber line at the top, a course deviation indicator, and a course selector. The nav display also shows a rudimentary moving map, but it doesn't have the detail of a traditional multifunction display map. That detail will appear on a separate display, as it does on the Avidyne and Garmin systems. Aspen's nav display is somewhat flexible. The background moving map can be scaled up and down to show the flight plan map in varying detail, and there's also an arc view, which you can see in this photo. Drilling down to the details, the top portion of the navigation display shows desired course and heading on the far left. Those are the green numerals in this view. You can see which navigation source is driving the CDI, the name of the active waypoint, and the bearing and distance and time to that waypoint. Along the bottom of the navigation display, the navigation source driving the CDI is displayed in the middle. In this case, the CDI is coupled to GPS-1. If you push the center button, you could cycle through GPS-2, VOR-1, and so on. The other two labels shown here apply to the lower control knobs. And that brings us to the Evolution's knobs and keys. The device is controlled by a series of keys along the right side of the display. Aspen calls these hot keys, but we also know them as soft keys. And in this photo, you can see the knobs on the lower edge of the instrument. These are used for data entry. As with most avionics these days, you activate the cursor function with either a key press or a knob press, then scroll in the data with the knob. Aspen uses the key and knob logic, and it's fairly easy to master it. So let's take a closer look at the menu structure. If you push the menu key, it's visible here at the upper right corner of the photo, you pull up an overlay of menu tags. Each one of these tags corresponds to a particular function. The top item in this menu, for example, allows you to change the barrow setting value from inches to millibars or vice versa. There are 7 such menu pages and you step through them with the lower right knob. Here's another menu, the second page of 7 in the series. When you're working with menus, the Evolution has 2 modes, select mode and edit mode. In select mode, you're allowed to step through the menus until you find what you want, then you press the hotkey next to that item. Once you've pressed the hotkey, the Evolution goes into edit mode and you can use the knobs to enter the value you want, say for the barrow setting or bug value or the like. While not perfectly transparent, this architecture is readily learnable once you figure out Aspen's unique nomenclature. One thing we liked about this product is that if you're up to speed on the Garmin 430 or 530 navigators, the Evolution will be easy to learn just by pushing buttons to see what happens. Also, the pilot's operating guide that Aspen provides with us is lucid and quite comprehensive. Obviously, someone put a lot of thought into this. 3 more buttons worth mentioning are along the lower edge of the navigation bezel. These are bearing source selector controls. The left one controls what Aspen calls the single line bearing pointer, while the right button controls the double line bearing pointer, or what most of us think of as an RMI. These operate independently of the CDI and point directly at the selected fix or source. There are no adjustments to be made to either of them. To select a navigation source for the bearing pointers, you just cycle the button until you see what you want listed on the lower portion of the screen. The center button in this array, as mentioned before, is the CDI source selector. It can be coupled to either GPS, VOR, or localizer. For a better idea of how all this works, see the accompanying video, which you can locate in AvWeb's video index section. That video also gives a sense of how well the display plays in direct sunlight, which I would rate as very good. My only complaint in our brief flight demo of this system is that the typography on some of the labels is small and difficult to read. Like many would-be buyers of the Evolution, I'm a middle-aged presbyop, and I'm long past my eagle eye days. Overall, I like Aspen's idea of modular architecture for legacy airplanes. This should make the system affordable and realistic to install in cockpits never intended for glass. In any way you look at it, that's welcome progress. I'm Paul Bertarelli, reporting for Aviation Consumer. Thanks for listening.